Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, July 25th, 2022, and this is National Liberty Alliance weekly meeting. John is incapacitated with his internet tonight, so I'm Gerard, and I will be running the meeting. And we're going to start off with a scripture reading, as we usually do, and that's going to be read by Heather Lee. So, without further ado, go ahead, Heather.
Very good. Tonight, Habakkuk, chapter 2. Oh, I know I have been rash to talk out plainly this way to God. I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower or fortress and watch to see what he will say unto me and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against him. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, engrave it so plainly upon the tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens to the end of fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behind on its appointed day. Behold the proud, his soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. Moreover, wine and wealth are treacherous. The proud man, the Chaldean invader, is restless and cannot stay at home. His appetite is large like the shoal, and his greed is like the death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and collects all people as if he owns them. Shall not all these victims of his greed take up a taunt against him in scoffing derision to say to him, woe to him who piles up that which is not his. How long will he possess it? And woe to him who loads himself with promissory notes for usury. Shall your debtors not rise up suddenly who shall bite you, exacting usury of you? And those awake who will vex you, toss you to and fro and make you tremble violently, then you will be booty for them. Because you, King of Babylon, have plundered many nations, all who are left of the people shall plunder you because of men's blood and for the violence done to the earth, to the city, and all the people who live in each city. Oh, woe to him who obtains wicked gain for his house, who thinks he so by doing to set his nest on high that he may be preserved from calamity and be delivered from the power of evil. You have devised shame to your house by cutting off and putting an end to many people's lives. You have sinned against and forfeited your very own life. For the stone shall cry out of the wall built in sin to accuse you, and the beam of the woodwork will answer it, agreeing with its charges against you. Oh, woe to him who builds a town with blood, establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not by appointment of the Lord of hosts that the nations toil only to satisfy the fire that will consume their own work, and the peoples weary themselves only for emptiness, falseness, and futility. But the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Oh, woe to him who delays that day, who gives his neighbors drink, who pours out your bottle to them and adds to your poisonous and blenching wrath. and also makes them drunk, that you may look upon their stripped condition and pour out foul shame on their glory. You yourself will be filled with shame and contempt instead of glory. Drink also, and be as an uncircumcised heathen. The cup of wrath in the Lord's right hand will come around you, O destroyer, and foul shame shall be on your own glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover and overwhelm you. The destruction of the animals which the violence frightened away will terrify you on account of men's blood in the violence done to the land, to the city, and all its inhabitants. What profit is the graven image when its maker has formed it? It is only a molten image and a teacher of lies. For the maker trusts his own creations as his God when he makes dumb idols. Woe to him who says to the wooden image, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth hush and keep silence before him. Amen. Gerard?
Hey, Gerard.
You're on.
Oh, I'm talking and I'm muted. I said, thank you, Heather. That was lovely. I see Ollie left me a note. Let me see. I asked him to come on since we haven't. And he wants to know who's on. Hang on. Let me just reply to Ollie.
Well, it's going to be a mix of things tonight, and Gerard's going to be running things. I need to, please, if you're not speaking, mute yourself, or I'm going to mute them all here. Let's see. So at least we got the Q&A started. Those of you who have host privileges, you can unmute yourself. And as soon as Gerard cuts back, it's all his. You're up, Gerard.
Okay, and you can get in the queue if you got a question, you know, which we'll do after.
It's star six, or you hit the get in the queue button.
Right.
If you're on a, I can't remember where it is.
Right. I don't know either because I don't use that. So anyway,
uh-oh.
You can get in.
Somebody
there.
Wanked out. Okay, it's all yours.
So, anyway, we're a lot of things going on. We're coming to a head on stuff. Of course, that could take, you know, several months in my mind or longer for things to flush out. I don't know how much worse things can get, but I don't want to know. I guarantee you they're going to get worse before they get better. I mean, as far as, you know, prices and things in the nations and bank failures. Today, I got a big ha-ha because the dollar store, their computers or something was down, only cash. I said, imagine that. All of a sudden, only cash, you know, they make you feel like a terrorist when you go with cash, and they put you and they regulate you to a line, and you can only use the self-checkout if you have a credit card. You know, and so there's always these big long lines for cash. Of course, that's where I do my preaching when I'm on the cash line. And I get people going. I ask them, "Where do you think all the coins went?" You know, I got a coin shortage. Where? What does that make sense? And I start telling them about, well, yeah, they're collecting the coin because They can't change the value of a coin as easy as they can the paper. The paper they can make disappear overnight, but those coins actually hold some value. If you did nothing else, if you didn't have money to buy silver or anything else, you should change all your promissory notes. As a matter of fact, you talked about that in the scripture, did you not? Today, Heather Lee, he talked about, you know, the promissory note and the usury of the interest. It's in the Bible. We're doing exactly what he told us not to. And can we wonder why we have these problems? But those promissory notes are not God's money. They're really not our money. It's a fiction, and it's worth whatever they say it is, and it can disappear with the push of a button. And you know, your credit card is even worse. That's not even a promissory note. That's just credit. You're buying on credit, and the banks are starting to go down, as you can see. And there are other areas of the country where the internet, and, you know, like John doesn't have internet. I don't know. They could have said it was a storm. But there's spotty outages all over the place. And so that gets me thinking that, you know, they're playing around with the infrastructure. Things are starting to fail. Maybe they're testing to see, you know, what they can take out and still bring back up. I don't know. I just know there's a lot of stuff going on. And that we're at the, you know, the fourth down here as far as I can see. So I don't know. Before I get going too long, Jan, is there any announcements today?
No announcements. I do have one question for you, though, Gerard.
Okay. I don't know. Well, go ahead and say it, and I'll see if I want to put it off or do it later.
You know, John sent out an email, I guess it was yesterday, announcing all the new handbooks that he has out. So I got an email from someone who wanted to know if there are any books about being a notary. I keep reading that being a notary is a very powerful position. I would like to know if there are any books that go into detail about what all a notary can do with or within common law. Any insights on any of that?
Well, I know that we have literature that addresses that, but I couldn't tell you where to find it. I know that we've read different things in this meeting, you know, on the Monday night meeting, telling the power of a notary. And we've discussed all that. But as far as a book, that's interesting. And that's something that John has never written about in particular. But I'm sure there's some stuff out there, and that's probably something that we should make as part of our reading list, because I also understand that if you're a notary, you can carry ballots for any party, where you can't do that if you're not a notary. Of course, you could also do that if you're NOP, no party. If you don't pick a party, you can do that. So that's just my knowledge of the subject, you know. And you know, you can, and I think there's something about, you know, you can have three people sign something, and that's just like a notary. But if you have three notaries, I've heard that's like a judge. Now, I don't know how true that is. Don't go off and get three notaries and sign stuff and say that Gerard told me to do it. But that's something that we need to look into. There's lots of stuff under common law that we could probably make use of that has to do with notaries. Just like the other thing we were discussing that we didn't know too much about, that seems to be a kind of a lost knowledge, was constables. I think it was constables, you know, justices of the peace and constables that these towns use, and they have some powers that is pretty surprising. So these are all things that we could look into, and as the system resets and breaks down, and we have to, We can't depend on our established governments. They're going to break down. They're not going to have any money. That's one of the ways that we're going to be free, is because Klaus Schwab's prediction is going to come true, but not the way he wanted it to. You'll have nothing. You'll own nothing and be happy. No, you'll have no money, but you'll function anyway. What we'll do is we're going to barter, or what if it gets that bad. So, yeah, we'll be happy, but it won't be because we don't own anything. we're going to own more things because we're going to own more assets. We're not going to have notes and computer, you know, I mean, at least I hope that our main wealth will not be digital. I mean, they want digital bad, and there is digital in the Nezra and Jezra. There is a quantum computer and a quantum digital, and that's all well and good, but I tend not to trust any of that stuff because ultimately, you know, if man can make it, man can break it. And so, you know, I trust pen and ink and paper. It's hardest to fraud with that. I mean, not that you can't, but digital is tough. Of course, I don't know all the technology. They're claiming that this blockchain technology and this encryption is pretty good. So I leave that to people who have a higher pay grade than me, and I understand that. A lot of the patriots feel confident enough that they're claiming that's a good way to protect wealth if it's backed by gold. But that's a discussion for some other time or whatever. So as far as notaries go, we don't have any books that I know of. We may have stuff on the website that pertain to that. I mean, maybe somebody can do a deep dive and see what we actually do have. And if anybody knows of any pamphlets or books that address that, it would be nice to have them sent in, and we could maybe make a section on notaries. Now, I'll suggest that to John when he comes back, because we talk about it often, and so many times you need a notary. I know so many times I've needed a notary, you know, and it can sometimes be hard to get one, you know. So, and there's many things that you can use a notary for to make things official and seal the deal that, you know, if you don't have that notary signature, whether it's to establish your identity or to verify and swear to something. You know, there's two different ways of notarizing. One way is to check your signature and make sure you are who you say you are. And the other way is to make you swear to what's written, that you swear that all to be true and correct in the paper that you are filing, you know, whether it be with the clerk or the court or whatever. That's a different type of notary. And it's actually, I think it's a little different stamp that they use that actually says that you swear and you believe to the best of your knowledge all this stuff to be true, that the notary makes you sign and then they sign. So, like I said, you know, a lot of this stuff I know just enough to make me dangerous, but we should be educating ourselves, and notary is a good area for especially common law to go off into, and I'm sure that there's lots of things that we should know about that. Anyway, that's that question. I think I beat it to death there. So,
yeah, hi, Gerard. I got some more.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I looked here in New York under the Department of State, and it's like three steps. You take and pass an exam, a prep course, and you complete your application, send it in, probably with some money, and then they complete the process. So we should all be doing it because I really believe in our situation. Yes, we should all be notaries because it may come to the point where the Department of State isn't there to do it, you know, to give it to us. So
isn't there a situation where you don't want to be a notary and something in the political or in the court that you can't do if you're a notary because you're considered an officer of the court or something? I remember hearing something where there was one thing that it's actually preclude you from doing serving in a certain position because you are a notary. But I think that, you know, that's really the exception rather than the rule, and I don't remember particularly what it was. That's something we have to look into. Now, that course you're talking about that you take, I think it's like a very basic course, and I don't believe it's going to have everything in there that a notary can actually do. I mean, although, you know,
well, they're saying it's an interactive prep course, and they guarantee that we can pass the exam.
Jared, I have a friend, Stoley, mm-hmm. in California she may be an expert on this. Would you like her to say something?
Is she here?
Yes, I unmuted her if she'll talk.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Stoley?
I'm here, Stoley? George, but what was the question?
Well, we're talking about notaries and the power of notaries and things they can do and maybe even some stuff that they can't do because they're a notary. There was something in an election or something that you couldn't do if you were a notary. But I know that there are certain advantages to being a notary, like you can carry any political party's designating petition. So if you know of any more things, any more advantages, and I think there's even more under common law that they probably don't even, you know, recognize and teach about. I don't know how good their course is. So if you're one, you're certainly in a position to let us know, you know.
Well, whose course are you talking about?
Well, he just talked about the New York State has a course that you can go online and take. And then you take a test, and they guarantee that you'll pass it. And I'm kind of thinking that's going to be a sort of a very superficial way to become a notary. I mean, there's a lot of powerful things that a notary can do, and I don't think they're going to give you all the tips and tricks completely that a notary can do. Maybe you'll pass the test, and you'll be a certified notary for New York State. But, you know, maybe you can expand more upon that.
You know, well, every state has the handbook online, and yes, you can pass the test just by studying the handbook.
Mm-hmm.
National Notary Association, you know, is noted, you know, for training the notaries.
Mm-hmm.
I think that association has done more to hurt the notaries than to help them, but they do help you pass the course. They guarantee you'll pass the course.
Right.
In some states, and I think it's true in New York, that they have to work under an attorney.
That's interesting.
Let me see. The Carolina is one. Georgia is one. You know, when I sign documents for Georgia, I have to have an attorney on the line.
I don't think New York is one because I have a friend that's a notary and he signs all kinds of things for me, and He's definitely not under an attorney.
But maybe New York isn't one. I'm not positive of all of the states. I know in California we're not required to.
Right, and I don't think New York is either. But that's an interesting point because that ties you into some attorney somewhere. Then so.
Exactly. The attorney is approving the documents.
Right, and you're not every attorney is going to want you to run around doing documents that he's not approving of, right?
Right, but not every attorney is honorable either.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure that if you, the average attorney, if you were going to do a land patent and have it notarized, he probably wouldn't want any part of that, you know,
just this morning, you know, I was on Patriot Soapbox, and mm-hmm. people were talking about title. And I said, Robert Overhill was the expert. You know, and he worked with Sheriff Dar.
Yes.
So I directed people to National Liberty Alliance and encouraged them to look up Robert Overhill and allodial title, because I think he was quite the expert on that.
He was, and he wrote some good stuff, but unfortunately we didn't really get all his stuff. He died very suddenly with this COVID business, which was kind of a shock. But he was not a young man. He was an older man. But he, as far as I knew, he was in good health. But you know, it was like here today and gone tomorrow. So unfortunately, we don't have his extensive knowledge with us. I have some writings on. He did a lot of work with land patents. He was an expert on land patents. And like you said, titles and things like that. And I would have liked to got a copy of what was on his computer. And we have reached out, and nobody has gotten back to us. I know that him and his grandson were very close. He was training. He took his grandson under his wing. And if anybody knows the family, I think the best chance of getting Robert Overhill's work is through maybe, you know, approaching the grandson and see if he does, if he has access to that. Because Robert did all kinds of very good work, and he was a thinker. He thought outside the box, you know what I mean? And he would throw stuff into the system and see what came out, and then perfect it, that type of thing. You know, he was.
I wonder how much he shared with Sheriff Dar.
I don't know how much Sheriff Dar was into, like, what Robert was into, but I think that, you know, as far as a lot of the common law stuff and the property rights, I think they shared a lot. You know, we were very big onto this non-judicial foreclosure, and the sheriff is a big part of that because he's the one that can stop it, you know, in its tracks. And so you're not going to get a sheriff to do that unless he really knows what he's doing. He needs to know the law before he can stick his neck out and do that, you know. So Sheriff Dar might know at least that portion of it on titles and lands and mortgages and that type of stuff. Robert and Dar have extensive conversations. So maybe we can, you know, maybe we can reach out to Sheriff Dar and find out what he knows and find out if he wouldn't maybe want to come in and do a little presentation on titles and land patents and that type of stuff. And, you know, I don't know.
What did you want to know about the power of the notary?
Well, I know they have a lot of powers that I don't know. I know that there's things that they used to do and that have been lost and hidden and not everybody's doing them. I mean, especially, you know, if you have a state where you got to have an attorney sign off on it, that's going to limit you from doing a lot of other things. Like, I don't know, for instance, like if you have, I had heard that if you get three notaries to sign something, that it's like a court document, it's almost the same as the judge ruling on it. Now, I know that's not going to be the case in everything, but a lot of times we put in defaults, and you got to get the judge to sign off on a default. And that can be a problem sometimes, especially if he's not an honorable judge, you know. I mean, look,
Gerard, rule for a notary does not attest to the content of the document. They only attest to the signature of the person that appeared in front of them.
Right, right. But
content of the document is not the notary's purview.
Mm-hmm. So why would you need more than one notary to sign off on something? And that would be,
well, I would have to put that in. I wouldn't agree to that, and I'd like to know which state that's true.
Right, right. And that might have been something.
It certainly isn't in California. The only thing we can attest to is the signature of the person that appeared in front of us.
And what about the sworn statement? I know I thought a notary performed two functions. One was the signature, that it's a valid signature from the person that's signing it. But also there's like in New York here, I know for sure, because I've done this with notaries. They do one that just verifies the signature. They look at your driver's license and whatever. Or they, you know, if they know you, they don't have to even do that. They're signing off basically saying that you are who you say you are, with your signature. But then there's another one where the notary will is supposed to ask you, do you swear that this is true and correct?
Because there are two different types of documents. One is an acknowledgement that mm-hmm. says that you've verified the identity of the person that sat in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
The other is a jurat, which is a sworn statement. And the oath is, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the information you provide is accurate, true and accurate to the best of your ability.
Right, so those are two different...
That's the sworn affidavit, that's the jurat.
Right, and that's a powerful thing. And I don't know if it becomes more powerful if you swear in front of three notaries as opposed to one.
It's not required.
No, I
can testify against a judge, and my word is worth more than his.
Right, right. So, well, that's interesting. So we learned a little more tonight about that. But I, like I said, I knew that there was two different functions. And like you said, that's a jurat.
If you're looking at a land title, like a grant deed, mm-hmm. or a warranty deed, the document that is attached to that is an acknowledgement. The notary is attesting to the identity of the person that appeared in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what happened here in New York is when early on, when we tried to get out of the system, John and I, and we would file papers with the clerk, you know, saying that we were removing ourselves from the corporation, United States, and that they were having the notaries look at the content and saying, "Oh, I can't do that." And we told them, "That's none of your business. All you're doing is swearing that this is what I'm saying, and I'm swearing to, and that I am who I say I am." And they would say, "Oh, we got to go back and see the attorney. They got an attorney in the office here in New York." But it's not a requirement that they have an attorney, but the counties and the towns, they've learned to put attorneys there to run interference on documents that they don't want filed because it shackles them. Some of these documents, when they're on file, they can't, you know, especially when it comes to foreclosures and stuff like that, you know.
I can speak to California law. Uh-huh. I can't speak to New York.
Right.
But if a notary is presented with adequate identification and the person appears in front of them and they sign the document in front of the notary, it's a finable offense for the notary to decline service.
Well, that's New York also. We've looked into that. And these notaries, the counties were trying to use the notaries who probably were not educated enough to tell them that we don't do that, or they refuse to notarize it. And
well, what they need is a complaint filed with the Secretary of State for the state of New York, and if they get enough complaints, they will investigate the notary, and the notary's commission will be revoked.
And I'll tell you another interesting thing that I ran into is that my bank has notaries at it, but they will not notarize anything that has to do with a deed or a loan. I don't know how they can say that. I mean, the bank is providing a service but the notary is under New York state law. So like you said, if I supply, you know, the necessary identification, how could they tell me that they're not going to notarize anything that has to do with a deed?
Again, I can't speak to New York. I can only speak to California.
Mm-hmm.
If I work for a corporation and they pay for my education, my errors and omissions insurance, my exam, and my commission, they have a right to limit who I can provide service to. And maybe it's only for internal use, and maybe that's what's going on in the bank.
Well, they offer notaries to the public and as a service to their customers, but when you go into a bank and ask them to notarize something, they do not ask you, "Do you have an account here?" I've never had them say that. It's kind of a public service that they offer. But okay. I do know that when things are getting hot and heavy here, they were getting into the content somewhat. And I don't believe that's part of New York state law, but, you know, that's something that maybe we'll have to discover. And
again, in California, a notary isn't even required, you know, to look at the content of the document. As a matter of fact, it's discouraged. We're not there to notarize the content or to attest to the accuracy of the document.
And that makes sense. That makes more sense that way because, you know, look at the person that's filing the paper is where the buck should stop and the one that should be responsible. So if he's filing something that's false, it should fall on him, not the notary, obviously, right? So that's
yep.
interesting.
And the fine falls to the person that committed perjury, not to
right.
the notary.
Right, right. So
but
I don't know.
These war stories of these people that are going through these, you know, illegal foreclosures. You know, I listen in, you know, on Monday nights, and these are just horror stories. None of them seem legal, but then I'm not from New York, and I don't understand.
Well, we get all 50 states here. We got members in all over, you know, in every state. So, you know, look at non-judicial foreclosures should be illegal no matter what, because you're not getting your due process. And I don't care what state you're in. You know what I mean? If they're going to take your house, you should get your day in court. And when they do this in rem procedure, and you don't get to stand in front of a judge and nothing's heard, I think that's illegal in every state. It should be illegal in every state, let's put it that way. Because they're taking the law of the land and putting you on the sea and pretending like your house is a pirate ship that was abandoned at sea. And then they tell you, well, this is not against you, this is against the house type crap. And I don't know. And then they convert the deed before they auction it. They put the deed in the name of the town. So after so many weeks of being delinquent on your payment, and they do it right away here, they don't wait more than like 2 months, the deed gets turned over into the name of the county. The county puts their name on it, and when they sell it at the auction, then what they do is, or, and even before they sell it, they can send the sheriff over to kick you out, and they basically fill out a eviction notice that you're a scofflaw tenant.
Gerard, just a quick story. Do you remember, obviously, everybody remembers the foreclosure crisis of 2008?
Yep.
It was the state of Florida that accidentally unraveled that fiasco. State of California is non-judicial foreclosure. If your mortgage company auctions off your property on the courthouse steps, and that went on for several years. But it was in Florida where they actually do go to court.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Bank of America over the Countrywide loans.
Right.
I think the attorney represented was in court so much he was too familiar with the court, and he spoke in a familiar form to the judge, which never should have happened. But an old man was in foreclosure, and he was angry, and he went before the judge and he shook his finger at the judge and he said, "You will not dismiss me." And the judge, I think he's humoring the old man. And he said, "Well, can you tell me why not?" And the old man said, "Because if you do, I'll file an appeal." And the judge said, "Well, to file an appeal, you have to have additional information that wasn't heard by this court. Can you tell me what it was?" And the old man said, "Well, they foreclosed on my property." And the judge said, "They did." And he said, "And they sold my property." And the judge said, "Yes, they probably did." The old man had his purchase document, and he shouted at the court, "I paid cash for that property." Well, then the judge had to look at it. Even though the bank was represented by an attorney, the old man was right. His purchase document showed that he paid cash. Then the court had to look at it. And that's how they discovered the robo-signers and Linda Green, signing off on all of the MERS documents, that mortgage electronic registration system, and that's how they found it, is that old man complaining to the court. And had that not gone to court, these foreclosures would have continued in the state of Florida. They would have been rampant just like in California.
Mm-hmm.
But the robo-signers were signing off. Remember, they were, sharing a notary stamp and, signing all those documents, Linda Green. The real Linda Green actually surfaced and proved them to be fraud. And what you saw on television was Obama declared a moratorium on foreclosures. Well, that isn't what happened at all. He put a moratorium on foreclosures because the banks were going to lose their shirt. Here in California, I had a personal signing with our Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen. And I was reviewing her loan documents with her, was reviewing the note, and I said to her, "And there's no prepayment penalty." And she said, "Well, of course not." I said, "Why not?" And she said, "Because they're illegal in California." And I said, "I don't want to disagree with you because you issue my notary commission. But every loan I've signed for the past 5 years has had a prepayment penalty." And she said, "They're illegal in California." And it wasn't too long after that, they just said, "We're calling our best notary, be quiet, don't talk. This is a busy woman, go sign her documents and get out of there." Well, it turned out to be a federal judge. And I was reviewing her note with her, and I said, no priest in a penalty. And she smiled, and she said, that's my case. I said, what case? And she said, you know, they called me out of retirement, you know, to hear this case. I said, did you hear this case for Deborah Bowen? And she said, well, yes, I did. Isn't she a love? So what I said to Deborah Bowen went to federal court. All of those loans that had a prepayment penalty were forgiven. And the judge said a contract that is illegal on its face is not voidable. It is simply void.
Right. Yeah, good point.
And so all of those people was, and you know what, Citibank was the first to jump on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they called their best clients that always made their payments and said, as a reward for being a good customer, we're going to offer you a lower interest rate, you know, and you'll still have the same payment period. What they were doing is perfecting the paper. Because they knew the original loan had a prepayment penalty. And if those people were smart enough to know, you know, what the ruling was from the federal court, they could have had their loans invalidated. But Citibank said, we're going to do you a favor and give you a lower interest rate. Re-signing those documents perfected that loan for Citibank.
Snakes.
Snakes is exactly it.
But, you know, that's something that, you know, they're protecting their interest. In it. I mean, you know, you understand their motive anyway, right?
Yes. Of course. So, of course. I was just hoping you would get it too.
Well, I think it's all usury, to be honest with you, you know. It's like the whole way it's done and who gets paid and how it gets paid and splitting of your money 10 times, you know, and running that whole debt system that has got us into this where we are today, you know.
I love being a notary, Gerard. I have met the best people and the worst people, and I love it when certain religious groups won't take the oath.
Uh-huh.
And I say, I'm sorry, I can't provide service. I'm sorry. You know, and I love it when I'm able to tell somebody, it doesn't say Haynes until I see it says Haynes.
Right. It's interesting.
Yeah, so if they don't have ID, you know, sorry about that, Kent. Sorry about your luck, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, if you know the person personally, you don't need to see their ID, right? If it's somebody that you can vouch for their identity, right?
Or
do they have to
need a witness. You need a witness. In California, I can't speak to New York. You have a credible witness. They say a neighbor that knows them. You can use them as a credible witness, but that person is not known to me. And I personally, as a notary, won't accept somebody that I don't know.
Right, right. Gotcha. Yeah, because they could pull somebody off the street and give them $20. Right.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
Right.
They say, let me go get my neighbor. And then as they're walking him across, they, you know, my first name is, my last name is, and will you tell them you know me? You know, and I always ask, can you tell me the full name of the person sitting to your right or to your left? You know, and most of the time they falter and they can't do it.
Right.
You know, how do you know them? Mm-hmm. And they can't answer the question. So
right.
I don't accept the credible witness.
Right.
But that's me. Because the notary is financially responsible for all the transactions that you sign. You're personally financially liable. Now, you know, the minimum is $25,000, you know, errors and omissions insurance. Well, that doesn't cover anything. So I can, you know, I can carry $100,000 errors and omissions, you know, or liability or an umbrella policy. But most homes are worth $300,000 or more. The insurance isn't going to cover a notary error. I would end up selling my home to pay for the financial loss.
Right.
And I'm not willing to do that. So you either have ID or you don't.
Right.
I'm not selling my home to pay for any kind of fraud.
Right.
And I'm bonded, and if anything ever comes up, I have to pay the bond back.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody says, oh, they're bonded, but you have to pay the bond back.
Right.
Well, do you feel more educated, Gerard?
Oh, way more.
Thank you, Stoli.
Yeah, that was good. And maybe John would be interested in doing a writing or a little book on notaries, especially if we want to get more people to be notaries for NLA. And like you said,
it's different for every state.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But each state has their handbook online, and they're all downloadable.
Right. So there's not too much to talk about other than getting, learning the law in your state and taking the test, and then you can be a notary.
Gerard, on several occasions you've talked about these non-judicial foreclosures, and you say that the county or the state, I think you were talking about the county, transfers the property title to their name. I wonder, who is signing those documents? By what authority, what is their authority to sign the transfer of title?
It's actually theft. It's fraud. It should not go through, and it shouldn't stand. And I also do believe that they're running a big fraud here in New York State, because we accidentally found out that when they didn't always do this non-judicial foreclosure here in New York, it was something that came up kind of a new thing, 8 years ago, maybe it's even 10 now. I don't think it's quite 10, but they said, you can do this new type. The state talked to the counties and they said, you can do this non-judicial foreclosure, and it will free up the property quicker, because under the way the old law, the old real property tax law, that property, the landowner that lost the property had a period of redemption that they could come back and redeem it and just pay for any improvements, and they'd get the property back. Well, that was a deterrent for a lot of people. They wouldn't buy a piece of property that somebody could show up and pay, and then they'd lose it, It usually doesn't happen, because by the time somebody loses their land for taxes, it's because they're in such dire straits they couldn't afford it to begin with. But there have been people that were able to redeem their property because they fell on hard times or whatever, and they were able to bring the money back up and get it back. And so it's not as attractive investment. Sometimes they're a little harder to get away with and to get rid of than just a regular sale where there's no encumbrances, where somebody can come back and take the property. So they said, you'll sell more properties, you'll sell them quicker, and you do this non-judicial in rem foreclosure. But the caveat was that every town had to pass a law that allowed them to do it. And when a town And we have what they call the home rule law here, that when a local municipality passes the law, that it has the same force as if the state legislature passed it.
Well, that sounds more like an ordinance than a law.
Yeah. Well, I think they said that they had to make a law. So, and there's a procedure for making a law. When you make a law, you register it with the State Department. And what they do is they look at that law and they make sure that it's constitutional before, So just because the town board writes a law and then it gets passed, they have vote on it and it passes, it has to go up to the State Department in the state, and they gotta approve it, and they gotta have it on file. So I don't know why we did it, but I was fighting on my property tax, and we were making you know, bringing to task this whole interim thing and the language and everything. And we called up the State Department. We said, does this town that we're working in, do they have a law that allows them to do this interim foreclosure procedure? And they said we have no law on file. So they're operating. In other words, they haven't even done that. And somehow it was overlooked. And I think the reason it was overlooked is because the state didn't pass a law. The state sent a resolution down that allowed the counties and the towns to do this in rem procedure with the caveat that they had to make it a law. And all the towns did is they would do a resolution but they didn't pass a law. So it's not on the books as a law. So I'm thinking that every single one of those things that was done in the past 10 years, they would have to give all those people their money back because it was fraud.
You know, here's a question for you. I can't speak to New York, but in California, if somebody's property is sold, you know, at the courthouse steps for foreclosure, if that person owed $100,000 and defaulted on their loan, and the property sold for $300,000, the county has to give the profit back to the homeowner. Do you know if that's true in New York?
It used to be, but it is no longer that, because this interim procedure, the county keeps it all. And as far as I'm
concerned, what I found out is they don't put any effort into it. They will send notification to the last known address, which is actually the property address, so the homeowner is never notified.
Right.
And so that money sits in the sheriff's operating budget, and they use it. They don't make any effort to return it to the homeowner.
No, I took a course on finding those things and going to those people that had money and informing them on it, and then taking a percentage back for alerting them and filling out the paperwork for them.
That's a lot of work.
Well,
the money technically should go to unclaimed property, but it doesn't. Here in California, it stays with the sheriff's department.
Well, there was a time limit. In other words, if you looked at all the property that was coming up for sale that particular month or whatever, whenever they do them.
Yeah, I do that too. I look at them.
Right. So now, and it gets sold. The original law was that the homeowner had, I think they had 30 days to claim those funds in New York. I don't know why they came up with 30 days or what. But if you don't claim it after 30 days, I think it must go in. I can't say that it goes into unclaimed fund because they're telling you that you have to claim it within 30 days, and then after that, I think they just stick it in their general fund or whatever they do with it. I don't know, you know, but they're squirreling away an awful lot of money from an awful lot of people.
Something to dig on. But
yeah,
that's good news that they never made a law. I mean, that's a real fine.
That would bankrupt all of these towns. It would be done. I mean, I don't even know how they would go about remedying it. You know, 10 years of property sales for delinquent taxes. And we had every year, I mean, some years it's so big it's ridiculous, you know.
So, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car.
yeah, exactly. So I should probably bite my tongue a little bit about this, but I'm not, because I don't care. And I have so many irons in the fire and so much stuff that I haven't pursued it. You know what I mean? I could probably pursue it. Of course, you know, when you pursue stuff like this, you become a target too, so you have to pick your battles. I mean, is that the hill that I want to die on? You know what I mean? So
I do.
And it's actually, it's not a bad hill to die on if you think about it. You know, you're talking multi millions, probably, you know, maybe even billions of dollars over here in the past 10 years. So I throw it out every now and then on a show. I mention it hoping that somebody will pick up the ball and run with it, you know, because
unfortunately, none of us can afford the attorney fees.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that is what it is. But, you know, somebody like John and myself, you know, and Robert Overyule, there would be no attorney fees because we would do the paperwork ourselves. And we learned a lot of that stuff through the School of Hard Knocks, you know. I mean, sometimes you can get in trouble if you don't know, you know, if you're filing papers, you don't know everything, you can incur a fine or whatever. But really, the court is supposed to help you when you're not a lawyer and you're filing paperwork. They're supposed to, technically, they should be correcting your work. You know, if you put something in and it's not exact, they're not supposed to give you legal advice. But they can correct the paperwork, and we've been through this with the courts. You know, they don't even want to tell you what's wrong with it. Meanwhile, it could be something stupid like that particular court requires it double space, and they're supposed to tell you that. You know what I mean? They're not supposed to.
I think all of us were on that telephone call when John, what was it? He was going before the Supreme Court, and the judge just cut him off, and that was it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Remember that? Yeah.
I do. A bunch of your callers probably remember that call as well.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I think it was in the federal court? It was an appeals court, I thought.
Yeah, it was a federal court. Let me see. I don't remember exactly which case that was. We've done so many through the years, and we had a couple of them like that, you know, why. And same thing. They just steamroll over you. They don't care.
Pilot, was that a Superior Court?
Pardon me?
I asked.
No, it was a federal court. It was the Northern District of New York, as I remember.
Right, right. So that's in over here. That is the Supreme Court of New York State. You know.
Yeah, they certainly left John with his hat in his hand.
Yeah. Yep.
And, okay. So are we done with notary stuff?
Yes, we are. I believe we are. What time is it?
Somebody else in here.
Yeah. Well, let me see. Do we have anybody? Let me look at my Q&A here. Okay. Well, we got three people. So I'm going to start taking them because it's 10. We're going to try to close.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
By 11.
This should take 5 minutes. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, no, it was good, though, because it was a learning thing, and there's not that many people. So I'm going to start with Robbie.
Thank you.
And I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead, Robbie. What's your
Hello?
Question?
Tammy,
okay.
Yeah, can you hear me? I was asking.
Oh, no, I can. Yeah.
Now, get this. Okay, I know you heard me on a few sessions, let it known that I was doing the process laid out by John for habeas corpus, including the preliminary monetary portion first, you know, with removal and all that kind of stuff. All right, now get this. I filed the habeas corpus, okay, which it was delivered onto that same court, federal court in Key West. And I put together the packet exactly how John instructed, you know, and even in which documents in order, okay? And I filed it. What I did was, so they know, I put it in a separate envelope with some other documents on the monetary case, okay, where they owe me money.
Mm-hmm.
So they distinguish, and I marked it habeas corpus, but the documents are in the order that John has instructed, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They have concealed the habeas corpus.
No kidding.
Completely. And remember, it has your federal cover sheet too, with the United States Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. All right, federal cover sheet in the name of the Chief Judge. All right, Cecilia Altonega, I think her name is. they now have concealed it, all of it.
Well, that's what they do. And,
I really wish you had given a call to see what he has to say about that. And now what? They're not going to file it, period.
Right, right. So did you send them our paper that John wrote up for failure to file that lays out the
everything? Yeah, everything, again, exactly how he instructed. Everything's on there, file on demand, and even the order that he put it. I've been doing this a long time, so I did it exactly.
So, in other words, they're in contempt, is what you're telling
me. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. So what do you do about that?
Because I even put a copy of the your grand jury memorandum of law on habeas corpus. They took it, I put a copy of it, the memorandum of law with it, and I put a copy of that same memorandum of law with the documents they did file. That's on the case where they're sitting there refusing to sign the cease and desist and the writ of sale and seizure. They took that copy of that memorandum of law out of the group of documents and didn't file it. They filed the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then a copy of that memorandum of law I sent also along with the habeas corpus documents that they have now concealed, and I know that Judge Rodney Smith is told them not to file it.
Right, and so what's that called?
And they do it because
that's a crime of concealment.
Now what?
Well,
yes,
now
what? It is.
Yeah. Well, now what? Well, this is what we're talking about with our committees of safety and our sheriffs. There's not. Look at what else can you do in that court? You'd have to go someplace else, or you'd have to have a constitutional sheriff that can hold that judge's feet to the fire. That judge is in contempt, basically. And,
yes.
And how do you, you
but
know?
I don't want to act on, I don't want to do anything on my own because, so John can blame me, his process that I'm following. So I want to know what he had to say about it. And I hate that he's not on the call today.
Well, he'll be back, and you can ask him specifically. I don't want to talk for him, but, there's things that can be done that's what we're working on now by getting us together in our counties with our sheriffs, because you need that enforcement.
Yeah, but that takes time. I've already told him last, I started already the Committee of Safety. I've already had the first meeting, okay? I now have 67 people in it, all right? I have a meeting coming Thursday, but, that takes time to build, all right? And you dealing, remember, I told you about Florida. You talking Broward County, I have to get them together, make sure it's ironclad before I even approach them. And the thing is that sheriff is a defendant in one of my cases. He's hardly going to cooperate. All right. They do too many crimes. Him we just have to get rid of. He's not going to change.
Right.
All right. We have to put someone else new in there because remember, they're embedded in CEPAS. They are one and the same. Which John didn't believe until I proved it to him. And, they have my grandchildren, and they're the ones who take people's children, They're not going to uphold anybody's rights. That whole department has to be redone.
Well, that's what you got to do. We got to clean those things out. But we're learning new stuff every day, and we're fortunate enough to have some sheriffs like Sheriff Darr that's actually – on our side that has been researching stuff, and he's discovered that a sheriff can go into another county that has something when it reaches into his county and it's pertinent. He actually has a certain jurisdiction that he can go in. He can even arrest a federal official. Now, I don't know that you'd want to go in with one sheriff on it. Like you said, you don't want to go in there on your own because you're a big target. You need to go in with a group of people. You need to go in with a movement. You need to create, And unfortunately, sometimes you need to play some politics to get some of our elected officials, like, what are you doing? This is what's going on in your jurisdiction. You know, I would send registered mail to the state attorney general. I would send it to any official that's in there.
But the state attorney general is the defendant in the case. They're the ones who take children. They're the ones who take two parents. They know what's going on. They're doing
that.
They're part of it.
Right.
The Ashley Mooney are the ones who do the prosecuting of the parents. I told you that.
And you got to take it up to the federal. You got to just go above them until we get somebody.
We're in federal already.
You know, you have to. Well, you can go from. You can move it. The federal court. You can take it into a different district if you have to. You can go anywhere. You can go in any court, any place. Find yourself a prosecutor or a judge that's brave. They're going to happen. That's what we're working on. I mean, I don't have the specifics to tell you, you know.
There is one court I can take it and file it that I know this particular clerk will file it. It's in that same district. I have gone outside of the district, yes, in another case.
Look, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and there's going to be hell to pay for some of these people that have been doing things for years and never having consequences. All of a sudden, there's going to start to be consequences. And as those dominoes fall, your job will get easier because these judges and these people that are doing this stuff, they won't want to be on that list, so to speak. You know what I mean? Because just like Dr. David Martin says, he said, you know, you should be taking this business of the crimes they're doing with the COVID, and you should be sending them to the state attorney general and this one and that one in the form of a sworn affidavit. Because he can't ignore it.
But once again, they're a part of it. The governor.
I don't care. They're a part of it. You need to make the paper trail, because the minute they ignore it, then they become party to the crime. And what I'm telling you, there's going to be a domino effect. And when this starts, these guys are going to run like rats from a sinking ship. And I think that this is going to happen sooner rather than later. I don't think it's going to take a lot of time. And I think that you need to get your paperwork in order and file every place that you can, so that when it does break loose, you're going to be one of the first ones to get your redress, because you're there first.
Are you talking about COVID?
No, I'm talking about any case that makes it up to that you make them aware of, and you give them.
I got my paper trail real good. So far as all of my cases, I keep very good records.
Right. So it's at, what I'm telling you is that as this whole cabal system falls down, they're gonna be leaving like rats from a sinking ship, and you will get your redress at that point.
What are you suggesting right now? I do, because I don't want to make a move on my own. All right, with the fact that they're refusing it, and that's their favorite pastime is concealing documents.
Well, there's an answer to that. You should get on and discuss with John as far as what paperwork to file to push that up into a higher, you know, venue or a different area. The more people that you notice of what's going on, the more people are going to be liable for this. You know, in Nuremberg, the guys that said we're just following orders, they hung them, and that's where we're at. You're going to do the same thing with these guys, and I don't know how much energy you have, but push it out further and wider, and push it in through different courts, because they're not going to have a taste for this in their mouth. Things are going to start breaking, and like I said, because you're in there and you're a burr under their saddle, they're going to want to get rid of you first. And I don't mean by murdering you. They're going to want to give you redress at this point, because you know, if they could have murdered you, they would have done it by now. You know.
Well, they came close to it. I have been a prisoner of war.
I don't put anything past them. So you know, it is your battle. You are taking your chances.
I have been kidnapped twice and drugged with unknown drugs.
Right.
All right.
So get a hold of John and run it by him, because he might have a suggestion of what to file next and where. But I'm telling
I can't reach him by email. He never answers me by email. That's, the place.
Look, you got me tonight. You could have got him. So come back next week and bring it back up again, okay? I'm going to move on because it's getting late.
But I have one more question because his book came, all right? Just one more quick question. His book came early because it was supposed to come on the 31st, and it came Saturday. I have his book here. All right, I just need to ask you. Okay, on the Quo Lanto, I need to ask you, on page 149, where it says notice and demand for oath, now is that part of the filing or is that just instructions to us with this Quo Lanto?
I can't answer that. I don't know. I have to look at it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And you know, I think he puts that in as part of the form. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But
the Quo Lanto, are we filing it as it is, or are we adding anything to it? Are we filing this as it is? Now, of course, we have to put the names of the defendants and
right,
all that.
Right.
But I mean,
I think that's intended to be filed
in the body.
As it is. Yeah.
The stuff of the body, is it as it is?
Right. That's what I believe, yes. And you got to, you know, anything
okay,
you got to
right.
change to make it fit for you, that's what you do, okay?
Well, of course, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Until I see John, then, or whatever, so I can talk to John. So
yeah.
I guess they'll have fun.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk about it next week.
Before she goes, can I ask her?
Yeah, go ahead.
Andromedia, didn't you and I discuss a habeas corpus? This is Jim from Intake. And it was about your grandchildren?
But I'm already doing that on my own, in which I've already spoke to John about that.
Okay, well, you spoke to John about it? Because
I've been speaking to John every week about this, and he knows I'm doing it.
Yeah, I understand that. And so, but did you... It seems like you're not forthcoming, though. You do not have the permission of the mother to do this stuff.
But that's a lie. I do have the permission of the mother. That's you that don't accept it.
Who doesn't?
But that's you committing tortious interference in my contract with the mother. She just didn't want to deal with you. I've spoken to her since then. So that's how you see it. Because you play gatekeeper.
You really can't say that we're going to be filing cases because... It's you,
You play gatekeeper. John told me you were not even with NLA anymore, so I can't believe you're on the phone. You play gatekeeper with NLA, and you keep black people out, and you only help those of your gender, of your race, not understanding that private American citizen civilians are not just of your race. So I'm doing it myself. John knows I am. He knows I am. He knows I have power of attorney. He knows that. That's you interfering to stop me, and I'm not going to let you.
Well, I talked to your daughter.
I personally
talked to your daughter. You're not going to let me talk?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I have her permission, and I personally speak to her. No, it doesn't. She doesn't want to deal with you and doesn't trust you. And
she
I told her why she's not. Huh?
She said to me exactly the opposite, but that's okay. If you want to continue to do that, you're misrepresenting yourself. It's not going to go
well. No, you're misrepresenting because you're trying to keep my grandchildren in captivity. As long as I have power of attorney from her.
I'm listening.
As long as I have power of attorney over my grandchildren, I have spoken to her. You're not going to stop me. She doesn't trust you. She is paranoid that way, and I told her why she should not trust you. You play gatekeeper, and you keep black people out. You play gatekeeper. I'm not. You trying to keep my grandchildren captive, and I'm not going to let you.
No, you're
daughter. You're committing tortious interference in my contract,
okay.
And I'm not going to let you.
So we're done talking then. I just wanted to
we
know
are.
Whether or not it was the same person, and it was. So that's all. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, but I don't have to account to you. You're not my master.
I've always been spoken to.
I have power of attorney. All right? My daughter doesn't want to deal with you, that is. It's not that she don't want to do it. And I told her why she should not trust you.
Okay.
We're not going to solve this here. I want to say we decided to not discuss it right now. That's an individual case. let's go on. Gerard? Gerard, are you muted? You are.
Go ahead, okay. Dan. Dan, I unmuted you. Can you hear me? That's Dan from North Carolina.
Yes. I apologize. I thought the gentleman was asking a question directly to you. Greetings to everyone tonight. And, we're caught by this just a few minutes ago. This is an unheard saga of something that's happened, and it's none really of our immediate control, except for the powers that have been trying to help with National Liberty Alliance. And the party that just was on there with the other party, they should recognize that and try to have a private session,
Dan, did you have a question? Because, Dan, we already settled that. We moved on. Please ask a question.
Who's this just asked me if I have a question?
Terry.
Who is this? Terry, I haven't had the pleasure to work with you, but It is a pleasure to hear you from time to time. And back to the situation that you just asked me. I just wonder if you guys, and I'm a little reluctant to bring this question forward without first sending the documentary information to a person that I esteem, two people. Mr. John DeRash and Mr. Jerry Priya, and there's a few others associated there too in the saying, such as Jan and so forth. With that said, I'm going to go ahead with this, and I'm going to direct this question because Mr. John DeRash is not present. But for the benefit of all the listeners, but more particularly to hear a response from Mr. Jerry Apria, which is a straight shooter, folks. Mr. Jerry, I wonder if you folks, for the last, say, 90 to, say, I don't know, maybe 120 days back as far, or maybe 180 days back, are you folks aware of what is actually taking place worldwide and as to a organization called NASARA? Do you have any knowledge on that organization?
Absolutely, I do. I check it every day. I know Jasara and Nasara. I know of it because that's what I do. John may not know as much as I know, but I advise him, you know, as to what I see. But, you know, it's very secretive, too. It's not, they're not doing this in the open. So, what, you know, you can't necessarily verify. I mean, I got some good sources that we listen to every day. And,
right.
You know, it's always tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. We're very close to that, and some countries are already doing it, and you can see that they're already doing it. And you know,
yes,
they're not gonna report it into the mainstream news. I mean, there's stuff going on all over the place that is evidence that the money is changing. When you have things like, you know, certain banking systems that have gone down, credit cards where you have a dollar store that would only accept cash today. I mean, they can claim that that's a digital problem, but I think it's more of a banking problem than a digital problem. You know, oh, our machines are down. Well, this is part of that, and this are a disorder. People, you know, and the United States has not fully gone yet. There's other countries that have, you know, and as a matter of fact, you know, the BRICS nation and Russia, you know, which has a gold-backed ruble now, is going to leave us in the dust if we don't wake up and hurry up again.
You are so correct. Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I do know what you're talking about, and so why are you bringing that up, though? I don't, you know.
Well, I hope that at some point that everything that you said has been right, straight, folks. What you just heard is definitively as close as anyone could report it, and it really motivates me. And I sure for Mr. Jerry Napria to be so versed as to what he just exposed to us. I think that once the reason why more so that I would have ventured out to even, you know, bring this to the attention of National Liberty Alliance and all its listeners is for what I heard a while ago. And apparently those people are not receiving that were called in, and I don't want to bring up, you know, my dad said one time, Dan, if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all is the best policy. So, listen, my heart goes out to what I heard a while ago. Let's leave it right there. It behooves me to have asked a question to our very eminent, well-versed, and I wouldn't say this if I don't believe it. I've heard Mr. Jerry Apria many times, and I believe in him and John Durash, and I've heard some nice comments by Mr. Terry, but I don't know him like I do and have a relationship. I probably need to. But in closing, also, let's not leave out our eminent individual. And this goes to be a lot of credit for every party that is liable, but more so responsible, and is comes on here comprehensive, and also with the appreciation of the actual owners of and founders and so forth of this great organization, NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Folks, believe you me, I know for a fact, because I had some battles myself. Every person out there needs to stay very close to the direction of Mr. John Durash, Mr. Jerry Apria, excuse me, and the documentaries. They're tried and proven, and they've started back in time, and have gone through, and so they have I guess you can say cut their teeth, so to speak, in the truth of what you people are finding out here and being disgruntled with, and rightfully so. Our hearts goes out for you, to you, mine especially in closing. And because I know I've been through this in these courts. I had to write a letter today, Mr. Jerry Apria, to the Secretary of State in North Carolina, and I'm not going to tie up because we got maybe another person. It's 10:24 right now. But I can tell you, these people don't stop, folks. They will come after you. They will do everything they can to steal your home and to steal your, keep you in bondage. And this is what's been going on all my adult life. But I got good news for you. As to everything you've heard me kind of bring up here tonight, I assure you that we, this nation, is now headed to a recovery that is probably like is parallel to the Industrial Revolution. About every 40, 50 years, folks, we have a change of the wealth in this nation. And some people refer to it as paradigm shift. Well, truth of the matter is right now in closing, because we do have to respect other people, it's 10:25, and I know how it is to be, you know, wanting to say something. So I've spoke right good bit here. Trust me, folks, we are in some very exciting days. Now, I have input, like Mr. Jerry's talking about, from all over the world. It takes me 6 to 8 hours to even begin anywhere close to read my email. I'm not kidding you, because I have reports coming from all these other countries. Well, the truth about it is I designed it that way. So I'm kind of a workaholic, but I care about America, and I put America first. And these people tonight that are giving you, Mr. Jerry, and you, Mr. Terry, some information here tonight, my heart goes out to them. but they have not quite come to the threshold, and it's not their fault, because it's like Mr. Jerry, you've just pointed out to us truthfully, it is kind of not everybody. There's probably maybe 2%, 1 to 2% in America right now that would even have a hold a candle's light as to what Mr. Jerry was referring to, as to what I was alluding to. But folks, the good news is coming. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go on the limb, and because we should respect other people here. It's 10:26 p.m. We're getting ready, folks, to go off of fiat money, which has been a fraud all the days that from when I was born until right now on this earth. Every time anyone gets a paycheck, Mr. Jerry could walk you all the way through this, and Mr. John Rash could, and I suspect Mr. Terry probably could. And it's a situation where that our kids have been victimized, that have not even been born, and those that have been born have been factored to pay off a group over, I'm going to just say, over in the big kingdom. I'm going to just put it that way. Just, you know, not kind of keep it simple here. And it happened ever since March the 9th, 1933. That this nation has been placed in a bondage that you people are fighting, and you don't realize that you're fighting, because when you go to work and someone is supposed to pay you, you're not getting substance for the work that you did. And
yeah,
we can go on and on. Go ahead.
Yeah, we talk about
what,
that.
Sir?
I said we
you
talk
sure
about
do.
That a lot. And look, nothing's going to stop. Nobody's going to stop what's coming, because it's at the end of its rope. It's outlived its, for lack of a better term, its useful life. Their whole fiat money system, fiat money system doesn't last much more than 50, 60 years before it collapses and it has to be redone and replaced. And we've always had these world wars to cover their butt, because they could blame it on something else and then start all over. I mean, they outlawed gold at one point, right? So it's happened before, and of course we don't know, because we weren't taught the history, and so we were just, you know, we trusted our government, and they basically pulled the wool over our eyes. But it's been enough years, and there's enlightenment, and it is coming. I believe it's coming, and it's imminent, and that's why we pick and choose our battles. I mean, where do you go next? What do you do next? There's lots of things you can do, but knowing what I know, I have hope that all this stuff is going to fall by the wayside, and we're not going to have to push that cart up that hill, that we're going to end up rolling down the hill, basically, and picking up our funds on the bottom of the hill. So that's what I'm hoping for. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, maybe we don't get involved, and we try to pick our battles. Like if somebody's losing their house, I mean, we've had plenty of our members sleeping in their cars and all these other horror stories.
Oh,
those are the ones that we try to do the most we can for first, because that's the most important part. And so
absolutely,
I'm just hoping that this is the end of that. But anyway, thank you, Dan, and we appreciate it. And we'll pick back up maybe next week and go further into
absolutely
that. I got some stuff I want to say, but I can't say it in 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments tonight, and the other people there as well. That is a good way to say, let's pick up next week, because we may have someone else in the queue, and we have to understand that.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Thanks, Dan. Quickly, we'll go to Tim from Oregon. You've been unmuted, Tim. Go ahead. Are you there? Hello, Tim from Oregon. I don't hear anything. Silence. Let me see. It says your mic is unmuted. Here you go.
Yeah, Tim is usually working at this time. He's often on the discussion group just to listen. And oftentimes, there he goes. So I guess he decided to leave.
Oh, okay. So then he
usually doesn't talk. I'm surprised he was in the queue.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was a mistake, though. You need to do that. So it looks like it's Ed from Arizona that's next, so I'm going to unmute him.
Hello there.
How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing okay. Hey, I was just checking in the listings of your committees of safety, and you've taken ours off of the list, and I was wondering why and who should I talk to?
Oh, that's a good question.
Gila County in Arizona.
Yes, I think we'll have to talk to Jan about that. I don't know why you would have been taken off. I'm sure it shouldn't have happened. But
we're quite active, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, not to say that we did do it, but I'm not saying it wasn't done. So obviously that needs to be fixed. So we'll get that to. I'm going to have to talk to Jan about that. And
hey, I will take care of it. And Tim's beckoning. Just call me on Zoom. I won't be available all tomorrow, but if you try in the morning and you try in the afternoon, try in the evening, you'll eventually get me, Ed, and we'll work it there, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, Ed, do you know who you were, the organizer, right, of the committee?
I was the organizer, yes.
I don't understand how it got taken off. That's nothing that's done automatically. If you signed up and checked the box in your My Account, then it should be there, and I don't know of any other way to remove it other than uncheck that box.
That was my question for the night.
Okay,
okay, we'll check it out for you and make sure it gets put back, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Yep, thank you. Thanks a lot. Okay. I lost my glasses here. Chai Lee, I'm going to unmute you. You're next in the queue. Are you there? No, you still look. Hang on a minute. I think you're still muted. I don't know. I can't.
Quick question. What was the name of the gentleman who was passed away but knew a lot about Melodial Title? I got the first name, but not the last.
That was Robert Overyule. And he did a lot of work with Sheriff Darleaf.
I'm sorry. You cut out a little bit. What was the last name again?
Okay, it's Robert Overyule. Overyule.
O-V-E-R-Y-U-L-E.
O-V-E-R-H-U-L-E, I think.
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
The E and the U might be reversed.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know for sure.
Okay, well, it's close enough, I'm sure. I'm having trouble unmuting Chile.
H A U L.
What is it? H A U L or H A U L E? I don't know.
O V E R H E U L.
O V E R H E
U L.
U L. Okay.
Over you.
Okay, you got it. Yeah, I just looked in my Skype and that's exactly how it's spelled, so. Thank you for that, Jan. Okay. For some reason, I can't unmute Tizoc. Chai Lee, not working. Can Terry, can you try it? I don't know if it's a problem with my computer or not. But it just stays muted no matter what I do.
I don't seem to be able to do it either. Tizoc, were you done?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, yep. Thanks a lot. Okay, so there's no more people in the queue then. We're done with that. Let me just clear these out. Then we got a few minutes to bring up anything else that we have to discuss. I kind of lost my train of thought on that other one. Look, we have a lot of things that are going down now. It's going to be hard to keep up with things. But like I said, I believe that the most important thing, even with your committees of safety and whatever else you're doing out there, is to get with your sheriff and open up a dialogue and make sure that he's got your back. And if he's not good, get rid of him. Whatever you got to do to get rid of him. You know, I mean, if you got to wait for an election, then you wait for an election. But there's other ways of getting rid of a guy that's no good, you know, and that's what the whole common law grand jury thing is, you know, because you can work with a sheriff from a different county, and if they're neighboring counties and you got a guy that's no good, I guarantee you that he's doing stuff that can get him indicted, and he can get indicted from another county because they're running stuff across these county lines and stuff. Figure out a creative way of getting him out of there by bringing his crimes to the forefront, you know, and getting him out, because you need that enforcement with it, you know, and the sheriff is very integral to this, very important. It's important that we have the dialogue. It's important that every sheriff gets a book and he understands his powers and authorities, because, you know, what do you want to do? What are we going to do next? What are we going to do next? Well, the last step is enforcement, and that's what we need, and that's why we, you know, with the committees of safety and the sheriff, that encompasses that. It encompasses the enforcement. So I'm hoping that, you know, as time goes on, and this becomes more and more common knowledge, these guys won't want to mess around, because they're going to realize that at the end of the day, there is going to be some type of Nuremberg type trials, and they don't want to be pulled in on that, because look, I'm telling you, when the tribunals come, and many of them will be military, because they're just by the very nature of the beast and the crimes, it's going to have to be military, and under military things move faster. It's not, you don't delay things like they do in the courts of law. You know, when you've committed treason and you get stuck on that military tribunal and they appoint you a JAG officer as your attorney, guess what? God help you, okay? So that's what we need to get to. And let's see here. We got a couple other people came in. Let me try. I thought. Wasn't Tim from Oregon just on? Let me just try it. Hey, are you there, Tim?
Yeah.
Did you go back in? You're really low. Go ahead. You're very, very squeaky.
Okay. Well, back when you talked about the notary, I did my studies way long time ago. It come up that if you're an elected official, be sure and be sworn in by a notary. I haven't talked about that. I got it late on.
Right. Well. Yeah. Well, I think that you know, we should readdress and look further into these things that we brought up tonight. We've opened up a lot of different things, and you know, what do I want to say? Situations that we need to address and we need to discuss, because that's steel sharpened steel, and that's how you figure things out. You talk about them, and you know, we're always improving our methodology. We're always making it stronger. And one of the things that we want to be careful with is that we don't go into a situation where we become a target, and that's a problem, you know. And certainly we've had a lot of good people that have stepped up to the plate recently, especially in the health field when it comes to this COVID, you know, scam that they're doing. And lots of people are standing up with that. And I feel good that they pull this baloney, and that they're so bad at it that they're getting found out, and that they're going to be one of the first ones to fall here. The lies and the things and the scam that they put on us, it's the biggest fraud ever in the history of the world. And it's gonna be the domino that breaks over all the other dominoes. In my mind, I think that's what, you know, and it's the most tragic too. You know, everybody has lost somebody due to the baloney that has taken place over the last 2 years. So we got plenty of places to stick our sword in, basically, and not the least of which is this whole pandemic that we need to get rid of and shine the light on. So I see we have Walt from New York. Let me hit you really quick. Go ahead, Walt. You've been on the
Yes, Drew. I want to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Is there a way I can send a check? Because I listen every now and then. I hear about you have these booklets that someone can purchase. Where would I? How can I purchase them? Because I don't do computers.
Well, we have a price on the booklet. I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. There is a way to send a check, by the way. I mean, when you go on and you look, you know, John's address is there, and
well, see, I don't go on the computer to look.
Oh, well, then I have to get you the address. I don't know who has that.
I know you had the common law grand jury. I had one of those, but it's since I moved, I can't find it. But what do you have besides the common law?
I have to ask John what he's using now. I mean, for checks. I think you have to send it to Albany Post Road. And you can send it to National Alliance, or you can send it to, I think, John Vidoric, but don't quote me on that. I can get you an address or whatever. Maybe we can...
Before we hang up there, you mean?
Perhaps. I mean, so you don't have an email. I can't email you.
You got a phone number? I'm in Florida, and I hurt my leg, and I'm at the senior center, and I can't do it, but the people at the senior center can help me, and I do have an email address if you want me to give it to you over there at the senior center.
Right. Let me just see. Is this your number that's showing up here, the one that ends in 0160?
585-406-0160.
Yeah, so that's a good number for you?
Yes.
So maybe I'll let John or Jan or Terry call you with the proper heading and address to send the check to.
Well, okay. Now, you just have that one booklet, or you have other ones now? New titles.
Oh, he's got lots of booklets. I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. And most of the booklets, I don't think we're selling them. I think you just, I mean, if you want to make a donation, that's up to you. But you can download them and print them. I mean, he's got a couple of booklets that he did turn into a publication.
Gerard?
Yeah.
John put out an email, I believe it was yesterday, listing about 5 or 6 booklets. And they're in the process of being put on for sale on the website. And there are a series of the little handbooks that are like $5.99 or $6.99. And also he's put his government by consent and the other law book on as well. So they're now reduced in price.
Mm-hmm.
I had looked for a copy of that email. I can't find one right now. You go to the website and click the button, and it'll take you to the page to order them on.
And he can send the check. There's an address that he can send the check to, right?
Yeah, if you go to any of the donate buttons on the above the blue banner at the top of the web page on the right, there's a donate button. Just click that. And that will give you the address to mail a check to.
Right, and the heading of what should be on it and everything.
Yeah, and if he could print out the order form and put a check in it and mail it to John, he could get them that way. But one of the issues is John put those all out, but there are about 4 or 5 of them that are not completed yet. They've been sent, I believe it's to Amazon. And it takes them a certain amount of time to get them in a format where people can look through it and stuff.
All right, sir, I don't know who you are, but could you tell me now, what are the directions? How do I get those booklets? Say I want to buy them tomorrow. What do I do?
You're going to have to go to the website and load down a page.
Is that nationallibertyalliance.com?
Yes.
.org.
.org.
You go there, the people at the senior center can help me do it. They'll go on their internet.
Yeah.
So you just go there, then what do you look under once you get there on National Liberty Alliance? What do you do?
Let me see if I can find the page now. It's probably under education.
Okay.
I wasn't aware of that because I've been gone for like 15 days, so I wasn't aware that
Okay, under the welcome tab on the left side in the blue banner, there's books by John Durash.
Under welcome, okay.
and click that. And
you can download those this without purchasing them?
Some of them. That web page will take you to Pocketbooks, and those are Kindle and softbound Pocketbooks.
All right. Now, is there also, if you go there looking, you can find the address to National Liberty Alliance if you want to send a check there?
Let's see. Not on that page. To find that, the easiest way is to go to the home page, and then on the right side, above the blue banner, there's a Donate Now button. Just click that, and it'll take you to the Donate section, and there in the bottom, it says Donate by check or money order, make checks payable to National Liberty Alliance, mail to National Liberty Alliance, 3979 Albany Post Road, Suite 107, Hyde Park, New York. So it's all there under the Donate page.
While you're right there, what's the zip code? Can you see it?
Oh, 12538.
All right. Thank you, sir. And my name is Walt. And your first name, sir?
Jan.
Okay, Jan. Okay. Thank you for the assistance.
Yeah. If you need any more information, just send an email to jan@nationallibertyalliance.org.
Well, that's sending it to you then.
Yeah, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jan. And thank you, Gerard.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. How do I sign off here? I'll just listen to the rest of the show. You only got about 15 minutes or so, right?
Yeah, if that. Okay. So
what do I do? Just
nothing. I'll get you out of there. Okay. There you go. I've muted you. You're good to go. You don't have to do anything. We got Ross there. Let me just click off Ross. See if he's got a quick question that I can answer. Ross, go ahead. Okay. I don't hear him. It's another one that I can't unmute for whatever reason. So, anyway, we're just about done. We've touched on an awful lot of stuff, just scratched the surface of some stuff that I can see are going to have to be, some new topics that we discuss. And we've uncovered certain things that we're going to want to get deeper into, not the least of which is the notary stuff, which I think, we did pretty good on, but we still only scratched the surface of that. And some of the other stuff that we discussed that we need to do a deeper dive into.
And Gerard, this is Stoli. May I make a comment about the notary?
Yes, go ahead.
I think the important thing to remember when you're dealing with a notary is notaries do not notarize documents. We witness signatures. And if a notary is interpreting a document and telling you they can't notarize it, they are acting as an attorney, and they're practicing law without a license.
That's a good thing to know. And that's probably a good line to practice and say to them when they do that.
Exactly. We do not notarize documents. We witness signatures only.
And look, you got to pick your battles. You know what I mean? We can battle all day long and you win the battle, lose the war. But
if a notary is acting beyond their authority,
I would report them to their bosses. I don't know how much I would fight them, but I would definitely report them. I would inform them that they're, like you said, you're practicing law without a license. You don't know what you're talking about. You're opening yourself to liability and your firm here. And I would tell them that I'm going to send a letter to their boss. But it's very easy to go get a different notary that's not going to give you trouble. You know what I mean? You don't have to get into a knockdown, drag out fight because there's plenty of notaries around that will do the job properly. So
but if you know their name, mm-hmm. Every notary has a stamp, and every stamp has a registration number on it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say anything to that notary, but report them to the Secretary of State, and they'll be answering for that.
There you go. Maybe get them to notarize your signature on something else, and you got all their information.
Ask them for their name. Their name is registered on the Secretary of State's website.
So that's good information, and that's how you fix it. You know what I mean? That'll get out there quick enough, into the notary world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not allowed to draft documents either. That's practicing law without a license.
Right, right. And that's every state. That's just that's a general thing for notaries.
If you would like, I can start state by state, and I can download the handbook and the authority, you know, whether it be a Secretary of State or some other state agency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can do that for John if he would like.
I'll bet you, you know what, and then we can put a page up with that on it for our members to use as a resource, anybody that's interested. I think that's a good idea.
Okay, start doing it. I've done it before.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you very much. So that's another good thing we got accomplished tonight. That's going to be a help. Okay, everybody, thank you for all your comments and everything that you do, and we'll be back here next week, same time, same station, and God bless, and keep your powder dry and keep your prayers going, because that's what we need at this point. It's time, you know, to bring the nation back under its intended, you know, the Constitution's original intent, I want to say, and under the law of God and the God of nature and nature's God. That's who we are, and that's what we need to do, and that's the only way we're going to get back to where we need to be. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and close the meeting down now. Thank you. And if somebody wants to turn the...
Yeah, right.